Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And what he says, your sins be forgiven you. Everybody's like, nobody can do that but God. Okay, now I've got your attention. Rise up and walk. And he got up and walked. So the same one who said this just had said that. So if he can do this, then that must be true. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now you know what that means? That means Jesus was the logic of God. Jesus was the explanation of God. The Bible says that no man hath seen the Father at any time, but the Son, he hath exegeted him. He explained him. He declares him. He shows him. He is him because he's called Emmanuel, God with us. Because when you begin to really look, no one can forgive sins but what? But God. And he certainly has done that for you, for me. The Bible talks about him being awesome, and he was. He was the embodiment of everything God wanted us to know about himself, and that is that he is full of grace and truth. That he takes sin seriously, so much so he sent his Son to pay for your sin, so that it wasn't giving you a pass. It wasn't giving you a pass. It was giving you a Savior who would dive in front of the bullet to take your hell, to take your punishment. That's what he does. Who would have ever conjured the idea of God dying for us? That just is amazing. He was awesome. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. That means there's going to be trouble in the city, okay? Because if you were the son of a carpenter, you are a carpenter. But he would be called the Son of the Highest. And that means that when they start hearing him say things like that, they're going to have a problem with him. The Bible actually talks about it when Jesus was teaching about this very doctrine. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 18, that when he had been teaching them about who he was and his relationship with God as being his Father, the Bible says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So when he is called the Son of the Highest, that was going to be dangerous ground. That's in John 5:18. Oh, he shall be great and awesome. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And that is why they killed him, by the way. Jesus came into the world to save us. But the thing that really pushed the religious leaders of that day beyond their measure was the fact that he said he was God. And they said they couldn't take that. We adjure you by the Most High God, art thou the Christ? And he says, it is as you say. And the high priest rent his garments. What more need have we of witnesses? Because they couldn't get any witnesses to agree. I can see some of those witnesses trying to say something in tandem with one another. And God's in there, and they're like, I can't even remember what I had for dinner yesterday. What was I supposed to say? God's just blinding their mind. They can't agree. They had conspired. You know they had. But they couldn't pull it off, man, because God's in there just messing them all up. The Bible says, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And God shall give unto him the throne. There it is. The throne of his father David. How? Because Joseph is the one who's got the baton right now. He's going to pass it right down to his son. His bequeathed, his stepson, if you will. And the Bible says in verse 33, it says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, you got to understand something. When you begin to read your Bible, you begin to realize that being of the house of Jacob doesn't just mean that you are an Israelite. The Bible says in John 10:16, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that he tore down the middle wall of partition, and he made of the two one new man. He's got one fold. And if you are his child today, then you too are a son of Jacob. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Because He's going to rule over the house forever. And what this does is this catapults us beyond the millennial kingdom into eternity future. Because when everything has had its final amen on sin and it's been put in the rear view, there's going to be a populated world. There's going to be a heavenly city. There's going to be a glorified king and glorified saints. And there's going to be humans that are going to be like what Adam and Eve would have been had they never died. Yes, they're going to have the glory glow about them. They're going to have a tree of life so they can eat of it. Because they're not going to eat and live forever in their sin. They're going to be able to eat and live forever in mortality. This is what we're getting a glimpse of right when we get to the book of Revelation at the end. It's like we tiptoe and say, well, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. He will. It's just not right now. And when you see it, you begin to blow your mind with thoughts. What? What? You see, God never fails. He created Adam and Eve. He knew what would happen. And He knew what He'd have to have happen to get it through. And that's why the millennial kingdom even happens. It's because even then, in their perfect government, their perfect environment, in their perfect situation, come freely, eat freely. I mean, take, drink, everything's free. It's good. It's perfect. God heals right now when you get sick. Everything's perfect. At the end of the millennium, the devil's released for a short time and he comes out. And I'm telling you, this is weird because these people have seen Jesus on steroids because even His saints are walking around glorified, telling their stories. They're going to tell about when there was little devices you could look at and see people on the other side of the world. They're going to say, what? We're going to tell them. Probably in ways that they could actually visualize because they will be acutely blessed in that day. Everlasting joy will be on their brow. And I'm telling you that what's going to happen is huge. He will reign over the house of Jacob. What? Forever. That's how we know it's not just millennial. This is forever. The Bible says, of His kingdom there shall be again no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? See, her mind is worried. This just doesn't make any sense. What are we talking about here? This was not a question of unbelief. It's almost like she's saying, what do I need to know? What do I need to do? How's this going to work? You know, because that was important. She was taking notes. That's what women do. My wife hands me a list of notes, and I'm like, whoa. And I still get up here and I forget to tell you what that note said, okay? What you're supposed to do with the, you know, back the blue bags and all that. I'm like, whoa. But she's got her notes. She's thinking 10 things. This is what Mary's doing. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There it is, the Son of the highest, verse 32, the Son of God. This is what's going to get Him in trouble, okay? This is what's going to put Him on the cross, ultimately. Yeah, they wanted to kill Him for many reasons, but it was the charge of Him saying He was the King of Israel. He was the Son of God, making Himself equal with God. That all became a blasphemous thing in the minds of the religious leaders. Do you realize Jesus made it clear they hated me, they're going to hate you? Did He hide that somewhere? No, it's in the Bible. Read it. They hated me, they're going to hate you. And what we're seeing right now is an effort to try to marginalize the church in America because that's the only thing that stands against them in a full-on globalistic movement to all kinds of corruption and evil. I'm telling you guys, all you got to do is just take a look at some of the ways things are done in other countries. I mean, there's enough movies and TV shows of over there that you'll see that they're all good with all kinds of wickedness we haven't gotten to yet. And that doesn't make us better. That makes us slower. We're getting there because we all want to be like our older brother Britain, you know. And well, hey, they're not doing so good. They're not doing so good. Venezuela on our side of the hemisphere, right? That's not doing so good. It was a while ago, not so much now. Everything that they have done, we're like Judah to Israel. We see what happened to the northern kingdom. 100 years later, not quite going to be that for us, sadly. But, you know, years later, we're going to be just like them if we're not careful. The Bible says this is the thing that He tells her, that this is how it's going to unfold. And I kind of looked into the word overshadow thee. It's interesting that word comes up in Matthew 17:5. It says, while they yet spake, this is Moses and Jesus and Elijah on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. It says, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Overshadowed them. Now, I think it's interesting. Did you hear what it said? A bright cloud overshadowed them. So it's not, they're not in it. I've often figured it was like came over them and they couldn't see each other. It's like, what's going on? I'm scared. But it was overshadowed them. It came over them. and it was bright. And you know what it didn't do? It didn't smack him in the back of the head like a dad might do. He said, knock it off, son. You know, he didn't flick him in the back of the head. He just overshadowed them. He drew near. And he said unto them, this is my beloved son, in whom I am and always have been well pleased. Hear him. Don't worry about Moses and Elijah. Hear him. That's beautiful. And that's the kind of gentleness that was amplified in many of the commentators. They said, this is just about gentleness. God says, listen, he's going to overshadow you with the power of the Most High. He's going to conjure in your womb something that is amazing. Why? Because he can. He says, listen, let me give you some more for the grist of the middle of your faith. He says, right now, you know your cousin, Elizabeth, she's having a baby. She's having a baby. That was a miracle. Everybody's talking about it back in their town, but here she is. And now she has somewhere to go while she's in her pregnancy for a little bit. And the Bible says, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. See, the 6 months, the 6 months. See, God wants you to think about this. This is real history. And he's putting it all together. And it's the 6 month with her. And so she gets to go maybe help her bring her baby into the world. You don't know. She might have served as a midwife with her or whatever. Certainly help with the baby while this older lady maybe is recovering a little bit slower. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. This is the little vignette of the Annunciation. This is where Gabriel comes and tells her what's going to happen. There's a lot here, right? I mean, you see the connection. You see the web. You see the intentionality of God, the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. And in the end, this woman, this young girl, really, for all practical purposes, this young lady, she says, be it unto me as you, according to your word, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Paul often would say, I'm the bondservant of Jesus. And that's the refrain for every male here today. We need to be the bondservant of Jesus. We want to go to the door of our home. We want to put the earlobe next to a pillar on the porch. And we want to drive an awl through and say, I belong to him. I don't want to go anywhere else. He's been the best master, best savior that anyone could possibly have. And that's what we do. Women, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever you want from me. Whatever you want from me, I'll do it. Some of the handmaids in the Bible are pretty amazing. The one that told about Elijah who could heal Naaman's leprosy. Hey, I know a guy. And she helped Naaman, her master, get that leprosy cleaned up. What is it that God would have each of us do, bondservants or handmaids? What would he have us do? Well, obviously, he would have us serve him first. Remember when Jesus talked about that? Which one of you, having a servant, working in the field all day, comes in and he would say, sit down and eat? He'd say, nay. He'd say, get up, make me dinner. When you're done feeding me, you go sit down. Listen, he was telling them, not that he's a mean taskmaster, he was saying, this is the time to work, right now. This is the time to work. We're going to have a party later. But right now, handmaid, bondservant, let's do it God's way. Let's lean in and say, Lord, put me in the game. Put me in the game. Put me in the game. Why? Because you're awesome. Because you're awesome. You're good. You're amazing. You're the king. These people don't know. But I know. And I want everybody to. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved me. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.